Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Lisa Mullins. A Boston man who's been in prison for 32 years for a murder he insists he did not commit is going to be getting a new trial. Durrell Jones was convicted of killing a Brockton drug dealer and sentenced to life without parole. That was in the mid-80s. Today, Superior Court Judge Thomas McGuire ruled that Jones did not get a fair trial. The judge says key evidence was deliberately doctored by the lead detective. WBUR's Bruce Gellerman and the New England Center for Investigative Reporting produced a special series of stories about the Jones case. Bruce joins us now. Bruce, I was not too far away from you in the newsroom when I heard you get the phone call and you sounded surprised. Was this a surprise?
It was. I was expecting to hear something in the next few weeks. You know, the judge had gotten the case about 2 months ago, and so we knew he was working on it. I was led to believe that he was going to come out with a decision in a few weeks, and I was kind of disappointed. I was hoping that it would be before Christmas. But then when I got the call, I saw on my phone who it was. It was Lisa Cavanaugh, who's Jones's attorney, and I knew at that point. I knew it was going to have a decision, and I held my breath. And she's with the Massachusetts Innocence Project, and she had just gotten Judge McGuire's 39-page decision this morning, and she and her co-counsel, Neil Austin, raced to Sousa Baranowski. That's the maximum security prison where Jones is held. And she gave Jones the news, and then she called me.
He was overwhelmed. It came as a great surprise to him, and it took him several minutes to just get his mind, to wrap his mind around it.
How do you feel?
Thrilled. I'm so thrilled. We're actually all in the car, so we're together and thrilled.
This is obviously a great effort to get the new trial. Could you tell us about Durrell Jones?
He was 18 years old when he was convicted. He was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. He's heavier now. He was a very thin, tall guy when he was arrested. But you read the trial transcript, which I did several times from 1985, 86, and oh, my gosh. I mean, this was the trial from hell. It was awful.
His
defense attorney was, I thought, as I was reading the testimonies, I thought his defense attorney was either drunk or on drugs. I was reading this thing, and he would object to his own objections. It was a bizarre trial, and the testimony was contradictory. Nobody testified. The eyewitnesses said they couldn't identify him.
So why, then, would the judge only make this decision now, especially if the kind of craziness of the trial was so apparent?
Yeah, it's a good question. Well, so twice, the Supreme Judicial Court rejected his original appeal. He got an original appeal. Twice he tried to appeal on inadequate defense and other grounds, testimonies and the evidence. But he was denied trials, and then the Judge McGuire agreed to hold a series of evidentiary hearings this year, and Jones's lawyers said they had new scientific evidence that could prove definitively that the damning piece of evidence at his original trial had been deliberately doctored by the Brockton detective who had been investigating the case.
What was that evidence?
It was an edited videotape of an alleged eyewitness. She had been charged with prostitution and drug convictions. And all of a sudden, in the middle of this taped evidence, it was the first time Brockton police had ever videotaped anybody as evidence. In the middle is this bizarre edit. All of a sudden, you're watching the Bilko show. And it goes on for a bunch of seconds, and it comes back. And the judge ruled it was deliberately tampered with. And he said that when he interrogated this Detective Smith, at the hearing, he decided that Smith had lied in his 1986 court testimony.
So, with this decision today to have a new trial for Durrell Jones, I know that you played a role in this. Tell us how.
Well, I guess I did. I read that the U.S. Supreme Court and the Judicial Court had ruled that if a jury was racially prejudiced, it could be grounds for a new trial. And then I remembered that one of the people I interviewed, Miss Eleanor Urbati, who was a juror at the original 1986 trial, she had told me that other jurors were prejudiced. And after our reporting, Urbati was interviewed by Judge McGuire, and he ruled that because of racial prejudice, Durrell Jones had been denied a fair trial.
It was an all-white jury.
It was an all-white jury.
So what happens now, briefly?
So Jones's attorneys are going to file a motion to get him released on bail pending a new trial. And if the judge grants the motion, Durrell Jones could be out of prison by Christmas.
Bruce Kellerman, thank you.
You're welcome.